Hi, welcome to Lili Logic. This is Lisa Smith Henderson, aka Lili, and I am so glad to have back with us Jody Cole, who is the owner of Wild Rainbow Safaris. So you can find her at wildrainbowsafaris.com. We've been talking about finding God in nature, and
I know, I mean, I definitely had that sense of I have met God in a way I've never met God.
Yeah.
By being with these animals. And I have to say, besides the warthog, my favorite animal still is a leopard. 7 days of safari, no leopard. And I still went away madly in love with the nature part. And I got home and I realized I was depressed. And I said, I left part of my soul in Africa.
Yeah.
So we went back 6 months later with the idea of looking at it to live there. Now, at the time, my son was 13, and it wasn't a good time. My husband and I were both still working. Wasn't a good time. But I had to kind of retrieve my soul from what I left. And do you have people that are like, this is it? Like, I never want to leave?
Yeah. I've had both men and women tearful at the end of a trip. And they're, because we're self-conscious, they apologize for it. They can't make sense of it. I don't know what's going on. I'm so excited to go home to get my laundry done, like all the things. And still they're quite emotional, like tearfully emotional. That's something you can't pacify or fix. I just encourage the person to be in it. And I mean, this is just the most beautiful sign of appreciation.
I think my son came to visit and he was 20. And he had never picked up a camera in his life. He was very much an artist. And I had just gotten a really nice camera. And I let him have it for the trip. And he came in a kind of a bad space emotionally. And he had so many aha moments on that trip, one of which we were out on a night drive. And you know, Jody, there's nothing to describe to anybody how pitch black it is in the middle of the bush. There is no ambient light anywhere.
Yeah, no street lights.
Yeah. And so we were looking for lions, and the lions were kind of over to the left. And all of a sudden, this elephant came right next to the vehicle, like where Max could have touched it. And he said in that moment, he realized how insignificant he was, how insignificant his problems were. At that moment in time, had that elephant chosen, it could have tumped us over and killed us all. And he had this series of revelations. And so when I decided to move back from South Africa, he said, if nothing else, that trip saved my life. And I love that being in the bush can have that kind of an impact on people. And so I tell anybody that asks me, should I go? I'm like, absolutely go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go with Jody.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so now we've talked about South Africa. One thing I haven't done, and I actually thought about going on this trip with you, is the gorillas.
Yeah.
What is that like?
Also humbling. Being in the presence of our next of kin and watching how similar they are and how they think, you can like watch them think, the way they move around, it's humbling. My very first trip to see them in Uganda, there was a silverback that had, he came down, it was in the morning because we always go to see them in the morning, and sometimes they build nests and trees every night, and he was still up in his nest and the females and the babies were already down and a blackback was already down. I mean, no one had seen the silverback yet. Even our guides didn't know where he was, only to find out that the canopy was so thick that they didn't see him above us. And the babies, they do this when they beat their chest, they cup their hands in such a way, and there's apparently an air pocket near their pec muscles that makes the sound of a coconut. You know, when you hear like a Gilligan's Island, you remember that?
Right.
And it sounds kind of like a pop. Then all of a sudden, one of the females looks up in the tree, and you think of the fear of God in her, and she screamed and started running away. And he came barreling down that tree. And he ran around and he pushed some of the babies and he messed with some of the females. And then he comes and calms down and just pulls, it gets a grabs a branch and he just pulls all the leaves, all the leaves off the branch and just sticks them in his mouth. And you'd think that, are you drunk? Like, what just happened?
He was hungry and cranky.
Hungry and cranky, he hadn't had his cup of coffee yet. And really, what the, and this is me still not knowing anything at the time, that the guide explained that when the youngster did this, and then the female, or maybe it was an older young male, had did replied back, the male didn't like it because it had, it must have been some sort of communication that he found offensive or inappropriate, badly timed, whatever. And he came down to say, uh-uh, Papa's
I'm
not
in
awake
charge.
yet. Right, yeah. And right after this, the male sits there, the silverback sits there, and he's sitting on his bum and his knees are bent, and he's got one arm up on the knee, kind of hanging, like when you're watching the sunset and you kind of got a knee up on the sand and you got an arm hanging over it. And that's kind of the position he was sitting in. And then he turns his hand and he starts looking at his fingernails. And then I was standing to his left, and he looks over and he looks at me straight in the eye. And then he looked back at his fingernails, and then he pulled his other hand up. And I'm going, that's what I do. That's so me. And I realized, you know what? They're not that different from us. Their bodies are different, and their type of intelligence is slightly different than ours. And they're just hairy humans that happen to have a big chest because of the way that they evolved to live in the tree line. And we evolved to walk upright. So it's humbling. And I do everything I can to convince a group to do two treks, because the first trek, everybody's so nervous, even myself. It's been since 2019 since I've seen the gorilla. So I'm really excited to get back in February. It's so exciting. I take my phone now, I don't take anything else. And I want to take a picture because I get nervous I'm going to miss it. I'm not going to get it tomorrow. And so everybody gets all day, and we only have an hour with him, period. They get one group, sees one group of humans every single day. They don't see a group, then another group, nothing. No, it's not like that. They see one group of humans a day, and we're it. And that's why for anyone who's listening, that's why the permits are so coveted, because only one group of eight people sees them a day, period. I want everybody to get all this out. And then tomorrow when we come back, I encourage everyone, put your, have a camera ready because something may happen, but just sit down. Just sit down with the gorillas. The guys will tell you exactly where to sit, how far away. If the animals come to you and the distance gets reduced, fine, stay. Or move, because the guide will come over, or someone will come and help you move out of the way. Just sit.
Did you ever feel afraid?
No.
No.
No, well, all right, that's a lie. It's a silly story, and just a quick one. I was there with a group, and there was a silverback nearby. And he kind of walked past us and gave us the side eye a little bit. And the guides knew there was a youngster that, I mean, a little guy. I mean, he just was running around all by himself, and he still was attached to mom for food. He hadn't started eating leaves yet. And he was fascinated with dad. So mom's over here, and dad slowly walks by, giving us the side eye. And then he goes and sits just inside some vines to our left. And this little naughty munchkin comes over, and he charges the guide. And I mean, he's little. I mean, he's small, but he probably weighs a good 55 pounds because these guys are dense.
Right.
And charges the guide, and the guy, obviously knows how to react. And then I'm standing there with my camera because I'm wanting to take a picture of this because it's so dang cute. This little guy comes charging at me. And what I hadn't noticed is there was a berm or something behind me of soil that I thought was just vegetation because it had vines all over it. Well, it was solid. And I go ass over tea kettle backwards. I do a backwards somersault on this thing. And by the time I right myself, or at least get up to go, am I alive? Am I dead? Is the monkey on, I mean, is the gorilla on top of me? That the silverback had literally come back to correct the youngster. And one of the guides, two of the guides had actually come over to kind of nudge him out of the way because they don't want to touch him either. I don't even remember your question. All I remember was this was,
Scariness.
that it scared me only because I didn't want to hurt the guy. I didn't want the guy to get in trouble by anyone. It scared me more for his welfare. Like, I didn't want anybody to
Well,
get in trouble.
there's nothing in our experience to prepare us for those kind of things. Like, I remember being out and we were in a vehicle surrounded by a herd of elephants. And our friend was driving and I was sitting behind him and he said, just stay calm, stay calm, stay calm. And I remember, I don't even think I breathed. Somebody in another vehicle had gotten pictures. It was like an inch from my face with its trunk, and it was just kind of curious. But, I didn't know that. All I'm thinking is, wow, we are surrounded and we are in a tin can. When you live in Africa, you hear enough stories about people being tumped over, people being killed because they made a wrong move or startled. And the thing I always reminded myself is we're in their home. Or we lived on an estate and they got mad about the baboons coming in. I'm like, well, how about close your damn windows? We moved into their home. We built homes that took them out of their neighborhood. And you're going to act bothered by the fact that they're hopping in somebody's kitchen to get a loaf of bread? Can't blame them.
Can't blame them. I just tell everybody just to just be there. Just be there. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. Nothing. Truly.
Okay, I have to ask the Southern Cross question because that was one of the things going out at night in the game drive, the open game drive vehicle, and seeing the Southern Cross for the first time. Living in the Northern Hemisphere, it's so like you hear about it.
It was pretty special. And learning, seeing it, I don't remember the first time I had it pointed out to me. Of course, when I'm there now, I look for it all the time. It's not out all the time because the seasons change and the tilt of the planet and all of that, so you don't always see it. And just all the stories around it. I mean, in the Northern Hemisphere, Native Americans have, and that's what I know stories of. I don't know other Northern Hemisphere lore around our Orion. Or even Scorpio, but the Big Dipper is our big directional thing. So the Southern Cross points to due south, and the Big Dipper, coincidentally, if you know how to draw the lines, it points to north. That was one of those moments again when I knew for sure I was in Africa. I could see the Southern Cross.
I mean, there's so many extraordinary things about being there. I think the hardest thing when we went back 6 months later to look at it, to live there, and we had been in a five-star resort, and I said, we need to rent a car and we need to get outside of the resort and see what it's like. And I remember thinking, the poverty is magnificent. As well as the beauty. I forget, I think it was somebody was saying to me that South Africa is a country of extremes. And I think that sums it up very well, but it's such a special place. And the Africans, I mean, I just had, and I think being from America made it easier to befriend Africans because especially at, in Atlanta and you're very open. It didn't occur to me to not make eye contact and not hug a black person that I had become friendly with, and to see that is not common there.
No, it's not.
Okay, so a takeaway, philosophically, spiritually, psychologically, what has South Africa changed about you the most?
To hesitate or to pause is probably a better way of putting a hesitation to me. Might be a connotation of fear. So pausing. And I've learned that my first impression of things isn't always correct. I've learned more to wait and listen, especially in a conversation, or stop and observe. I've always been a watcher. I remember as a kid, one of my classmates in elementary school teased me about being a watcher. And I thought that made me some kind of nerd and weirdo. But I do watch and observe. And I think what Africa did was compound that for me because in that moment, be it a millisecond or a minute, there's so much gained from that. It's that pause, like that pause when you're in conversation or in a real or perceived argument with somebody. Wait, because the first reaction, the first answer, especially from my mind, I don't think that quickly. The pause, just the take a deep breath and listen with my eyes and my ears and my body. My body listens to more stuff than my ears actually do. Yeah.
That's a beautiful way to wrap this, because it tells me there's a takeaway for everyone from being in nature, whether it's South Africa or being in your local park. Like, we can really learn from nature. Thank
We
you, Jodi.
can. Thank you.
So, can I direct people to Rainbow Safaris?
WildRainbowSafaris.com. Yes, WildRainbowSafaris.com.
Yeah, so if you want to see Africa with Jodi, who's an incredible guide and observer and leader as well. Thanks so much for being with me today, Jodi.
Lisa, it has been an honor to spend this kind of time with you. This was fun. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for Lili Logic. If you want to know more about the show, go to lililogic.com. Check us out on Facebook and on your favorite platforms, Google, Spotify, whatever it is. Thanks, and we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.